Road to Dream, Cowboys.
Welcome to the HBO Boys Podcast. Today we are recapping and reviewing Loki Season 1, Episode 2, The Variant. I'm Adam, and with me today is Ryan, and oh my god, Chad. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Chad.
So yeah. Exciting.
It is incredibly exciting. Our boy Chad.
I was excited, but I have just been deflated.
Why? did you pin your... What did you do?
Chad's excitement.
Yeah, it's palpable.
It is palpable.
The air has left him out of all of his orifices.
So
yeah.
We're talking about that hidden episode of WandaVision, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that we all knew was definitely going to come. It just was a matter of time. And it's,
absolutely,
as it turns out, it's Loki Season 1, Episode 2, entitled The Variant.
No one saw it coming.
No one truly saw it coming. I don't think anyone actually saw it live, because I don't know if it ever happened. This episode has the same director as before. The whole season's going to have the same director, and it was written by Alisa Kresnick, which I definitely didn't say correctly, a former assistant to the executive producer of Bones. So, you know, go to Hollywood, become an assistant, keep writing, and your dreams will come true, as well as the series creator, Michael Waldron. And as I was previously stating prior to the podcast starting, Chad, I need you here for your comic knowledge, okay? You have a full compendium of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and comic universe inside your head, and I'm really going to need you for the knowledge that you have today. Is that okay?
Yeah, I will dig deep into the empty bucket that is my knowledge of comic books and the MCU.
I appreciate that. We're really lowering the bar, and then you're going to surpass it.
Well, I feel bad because you guys kept bumping me up like this big, huge comic guy.
To be fair,
and, like,
you knew most of the answers when we asked them.
More than I know.
Well, I wish you the best of luck every time I am like, now I need you.
This is a test.
So we get right into this episode, and the previously on is just missed minutes, expositional dumping from the last episode. As the Marvel intro begins, I think the same things I always think when I see it, which is, I wonder if Spider-Man's going to take over where Iron Man is. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is there at the end of it. I assume that's part of his contract where he's like, the last thing you're going to see inside the Marvel letters is me. But he's gone now. So is it going to be Tom Holland in the future? I sort of hope so. And then it turns green and we enter a Ren Faire in 1985. Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the year Back to the Future came out, by the way. And Adam, you have Wisconsin friends.
I do. Yes, they are a delightful bunch.
Yeah, there's nothing more to that. I just recall as they were like, we're in Wisconsin. I was like, Adam knows people there. And I'm not sure
how interesting
that is. But
I'm not quite sure how far from Oshkosh they are.
Is Oshkosh a real place?
I guess, sure. Let's go with it.
I feel like I've heard the name before.
I think it is too, yeah.
Chad already coming in clutch, not with his comic knowledge, but his knowledge of Wisconsin.
So interesting. I know nothing about Wisconsin, but I have been to a Ren Faire.
Okay. That counts.
I've been to a one as well.
I have also been to one. Adam and I both know a witch. And so we went to go see said witch. But I'm glad that we all have insider knowledge here. We enter the Ren Faire, and a woman who looks a lot like Catherine Hahn meets the TVA that are just coming through portals. And she's not Catherine Hahn, though. Her name is Kate Berlant. She is the Bruin box office girl from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, with many more credits after that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the internet thinks that it's an Agatha Harkness cameo and that they picked her specifically.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that Catherine Hahn, the point of Agatha Harkness is that she is not really aging at the speed that we all are, because she's been alive for a very long time. I don't know if you've gone from that to this, but, you know.
No, I don't know. They're making connections where there aren't. They're desperate to find a connection.
She does look a lot like her.
Yeah, no.
I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
Red hair.
Yeah. Some of these, yeah.
I think the people have been upset that there haven't been a lot of, like, MCU connections in the shows so far, aside from, like, the obvious connections.
Yeah,
so they're reaching for...
Besides the whole universe is a connection within itself. Get over yourself, MCU fans, perhaps.
Well,
they're right. Some of the most epic, like, one-sided fans I've ever seen. Very, very, very to their own knowledge, and that's all that it is, and that's all they know. Their perception is reality.
We say they, like, they're also not us.
Yeah, right. It's me. It's me, too.
It's me, and it's you, and it's all of us, everybody listening.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we assume that there's a variant here and the TVA move out to go find them. They quickly bring up Nexus Energy just to be like, hey, audience, I know you don't fully understand what Nexus shit is, and we don't either. But our solution is we're going to say it over and over again until you or we get it, honestly.
So it's important, right?
I would assume
so. It must be important.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, it's interesting because that's the one thing that did carry over from WandaVision, because Wanda is right. A Nexus being, and like they had that like faux commercial, the Nexus antidepressants. So
right, and as we all perhaps know and or need to be reminded of, a Nexus being is the same across all timelines, and there yes. aren't many of them, but Wanda is one of them. And I'll come back to this moment when we get to our actual, like, review of the show, because I do think it speaks to, like, anyone who is claiming that the show is a bit too expositional dumpy. Mm. Like, this moment was, like, that was a kind of an eye roll for me. Like, okay, I get it. We are gaining knowledge, but you just keep punching us in the face with it. One of the TVA agents gets mind controlled almost immediately by who we assume is a version of Loki. And then they all tag team Loki and the mind controlled person, the TVA, together. While the team who is about to die goes through a very quick crisis of, Commander, what are you doing? Should we try to kill you? Oh, I'm dead.
Like, that's never happened before.
Yeah. And the commander says she's having fun, quote unquote. Seems like Loki, or the variant of Loki, has inhabited her completely. And this all happens while holding out for a hero. I need a hero by Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Totally in the 80s. Yeah, I liked that.
Literally, like, this is 1985. That song comes out in 84.
My wife thought that might have been kind of like an Easter egg, like a hint at what's going on.
Oh, where, for
like,
sure.
All the, yeah. Like, okay. all the horrible things that Loki's doing ends up being for, like, the greater good.
Yes. I mean,
okay.
If the cookie cutter version of this show happens, which I'm not saying is good or bad, I'm just saying it is very possible.
It's the pristine timeline.
Yeah, and Loki turns out to be the hero that we all needed the whole time. Then I need a hero. Yes, is pretty on the nose.
No, I was saying that the evil Loki would turn into the good Loki, and the good Loki ends up being a bad Loki.
We're gonna say the word Loki this episode a lot. Just prepare for that.
Mm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But, right.
It's the
Loki squared.
It's the name of the show.
Can we jump ahead? I mean, people who are listening have already seen the show. Can we just say girl Loki?
No, we cannot.
Okay.
Not yet.
No, that's not what's possible, Chad. It's not what's possible.
Right, not until the department store scene.
This is your everyone's post spoiler alert.
Yeah. Assumably you watched the show. If you didn't watch the show, I'm still glad that you're here. I need to make that very clear.
I need to say that I know at least one person who hasn't watched the show that's probably going to listen to this.
Good. More power to them. What's their name? Yeah.
That would be our friend Connor.
Hi, Connor. Yeah, hi, that's Connor. True. Oh, he'll be psyched we said hi to him. Okay.
He will.
Or he'll just be like, get your name out of my mouth. Either one. I'm cool with both. Okay.
Wait, you mean get my name out of your... Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Chad. What you were saying. We are 5 seconds into this show at the moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. The variant then stabs all of them with jousting lances. The Blue Knight rules and the Red Knight sucks a big one.
Yep.
And gains not only time grenades, but also the little computer as well, and drags the passed out commander through a time door as we hit the opening credits. We then come back from the credits, and it's clear that Miss Minutes is going to be like the narrator of the series, and she immediately starts to describe the Nexus events again. Told you. She is testing Loki's knowledge of time, and he is very disinterested. But it's important to note the red line at which the sacred timeline will be destroyed, which is the expositional point of this whole scene. Like, by the way, if it hits the red line in our little doodad, everything goes to shit.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Or so as far as they know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into it, but I think we're being fed a bunch of bullshit.
Of course we are.
Definitely a facade of some sort.
After trying to hit the magic clock a few times, Tom Hanks, I mean Owen Wilson, a.k.a. Mobius, to the third steps in and grabs Leonardo DiCaprio, I mean Frank Abagnale Jr., I mean Loki, who puts on a jacket that says variant on it, which is very cool. And by the way, like, how often is that jacket going to be at Comic Cons?
I know. I was going to say that's Halloween. You're going to see that in Halloween.
Right. Lazy cosplay. Yeah.
And and they're about to step out onto their first adventure. The pre-meeting of said adventure is being run by Hunter B-15. Still mad about Ruby's ending in Lovecraft Country. I'll never get over it. And they are discussing C-20, and which is the commander from the Renfair escapade, and how C-20 got lost in the sauce. They know it's a Loki, but they don't know which version of Loki that it is. And by the way, we're going to call regular Loki Loki, but it is about to get confusing. I'm just going to point that out. Mobius shows different versions of Loki to prepare the squad for what they might be finding when they go to the Renfair. And some are quite like him. We see a Hulk Loki in there, which I am very interested in.
So Hulky?
Yes. Yeah. Were there any other versions of Loki you saw in that moment that were interesting to you?
The barbarian Loki?
Yeah, the Viking Loki, right? Which matches up.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing Assassin's Creed, just like different versions of assassins.
So were those Lokis, I apologize. I literally finished this episode a minute before we started this podcast.
We don't forgive you.
Were they other Lokis that were at large, or are they just other Lokis that they had captured in the past?
That's a great question. With the amount of exposition that was given to us in this episode, I can truly not tell you.
Oh, okay.
It makes me think that it was ones that they've already taken care of, and by taken care of, I mean disintegrate.
Right. And they call it just like, this is what we found before, so if you see something like this, yeah.
Which is sad, because I would like Hulky very badly to just come back into frame at any given time.
Yeah, right.
I mean, don't rule it out.
I'm not going to. But yeah, they understand what they might or might not be going into. And at this point, Loki then breaks down illusion projection versus duplication casting. And it's just a moment where he's proving that he will be helpful because he knows about magic more than the TVA do. But I will also say, in this moment, I was a little put off. It felt like it was on the edge of cool, but also cheesy as fuck. Like it's teetering on that in every moment. When Mobius says that they're going to bring in an expert, I was like, yeah, we know, we get it. You copy-pasted the Catch Me If You Can script and changed the names. They're not worried about Loki betraying them. No one's chasing Frank Abagnale Jr. Shut up. Be good and stop doing annoying things, Marvel. Like, I don't know. Like when James, who, by the way, will read what he posted in the Discord later, but he doesn't like the show at this point, and I get what he's saying. I think, like, all fans that are very passionate about the pieces of entertainment that they love, and when it's doing them wrong, they get very into trashing it. I think his points are valid. And I'm not going to keep saying we'll get into it later. I'm just going to keep moving. Mobius adds one more thing of importance as they leave. If Loki is good, he gets to meet the timekeepers, which I'm sure will go well and not lead to some sort of ultimate mass destruction. hey, do we think the timekeepers are real?
Yes. But
yeah,
not,
I think so.
Not the way that... This is where I do have a bit of comic book knowledge.
Sick! You immediately were like, I have no idea. And and then also immediately, still no. I know, the comic books, there are three of them. They are kind of space lizards. They're not the first version. They were made by He Who Remains, as we talked about last time.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't listen to the last one.
You fuck.
Well then.
Well, what I know of them is they were born at the end of time and then created the TVA to keep their eggs safe so that they will make it to the end of time to be born.
Their They're space lizard eggs?
They're eggs right now. And at the end of time, they will be born. And the first thing they do is create the TVA to keep themselves safe before they were born.
Kang is going to scramble the shit out of those eggs.
So that makes me question the scene where Owen Wilson was in the office with the judge lady. Forgive me for not knowing their names.
Ravona Renslayer.
They're very busy, and they're constantly watching this case.
Yeah, no, that's all bullshit. That's what I'm saying.
That's bullshit.
Everything that Owen Wilson's been told, he even basically said, I blindly believe all this shit. He's asking to have like a Plato's cave moment where he realizes that this was all bullshit in the first place. And I think that the three either don't exist in the MCU, or we're going to find out that they're in, you know, hibernation, or, you know, they'll go with the comic story, which I think is really awesome. Where, like, they're trying to keep themselves safe until they can be born.
There's no way that's right. it, though. There's no and, way like, they
the,
go
the
with
sacred,
that.
The sacred timeline is just the timeline that results in them being born.
Right. Ah, see, they don't talk about that.
Tack this into the board for one moment. Loki goes on a long diatribe about how the variant is most likely outside the tent. He's just stalling for time. And he wants assurances. But to be fair, Hunter B-15, who was always less than impressed, is like, no, that's really dumb. Please don't give him any assurances that he's going to meet the time lizards. And it does seem like he's spewing a lot of bullshit, as we said, all the time. He's spewing mm-hmm. bullshit. The TVA is what we know and what is being told to us is all murky at best. And
yeah,
at this point, the timeline is reset. And we see what actually happens after the grenade goes off, which is the things that are extracurricular that were not there beforehand get deleted. Like, all the old shit stays, but the new shit goes. And which does change what I thought happened. I assumed it was a whole genocide that occurred for a timeline.
Right. Universe deleting bomb. Yeah.
Right. I always thought it was that we're just getting rid of what was put in there after the TVA like door opened.
No, yeah, right. You were right last week, and I was like, no, it's a genocide, idiot.
It does open up more questions, though, and we'll get into it because we keep going on tangents, we keep going on alternate timelines. Ryan, take us back to the sacred timeline.
Okay, bye.
Mobius, yes, let's reset.
Mobius heads for a talking to from his ex-lover and current boss, Ravona Renslayer, who is almost definitely the wizard behind the curtain, by the way, where she points out everything he and we already knew. Loki can't be trusted. Why are you still trying to do this? You need to lock it up. Ravona says the timekeepers are monitoring every aspect of this case. That's pure bullshit. And they are very involved. I don't believe you. They are ghostly authoritarians who are reigning on high and just spewing out rules, which sounds absolutely dreadful, you know, from Loki's perspective and mine too. As I'm watching, I'm like, they seem annoying. Her vibe is odd in this scene, and I think she is a pile of secrets and bullshit like we've been discussing.
Oh, absolutely.
The pen they use to sign the next thing that Owen Wilson still gets to do with Loki, even after the last one went poorly, says Franklin D. Roosevelt High School on it. That's probably referencing one of the first schools in Dallas to be built for black students back in the day. And we'll see if that comes back at all. I'm not sure if it will or not, but they showed it close on screen. So usually they do reference something like that again. Loki and Mobius then have a walk and talk, which I'm a huge West Wing fan, so really psyched about that, where Loki is either riding the white pony or I don't know what's up with him in this scene. It feels out of character. Like, he's on a lot of cocaine. Did it bother anyone else?
I did notice that, too. It was definitely out of his realm that we led Loki to believe he was, you know.
I think he's a fish out of water. Like, he's used to being able to pull all the strings, and he's in a place where, like, nothing that he does works. So
he doesn't know what to do. He's just getting restless.
He's scrambling.
Yeah, and to reach his final goal, which is obvious to everybody, including the TVA and him, which is to fuck all this shit up and take over. He's trying new things. That's fine. I don't know. It just felt weird.
But yeah.
Mobius makes clear immediately that he was hoping that this Loki's understanding of the variants being better versions of him would make him so riled up that he'd want to catch them. He would take offense to that. And they get back to the matter at hand and once again start talking about doing the work. And Owen Wilson says, you know, pretend your life depends on it. Do some desk work, yeah. Baby.
I like the way that Owen Wilson talks to Loki. His name is Owen Wilson, by the way. He's not Mobius.
Mm-hmm. I hate the word Mobius. I don't like saying it.
His name is Mobius M. Mobius.
Yeah. Does the M stand for Mobius?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mobius cubed.
Mobius, more Mobius. I like how he treats Loki. Like, he's just like, he basically just says whatever he needs to say to do whatever he needs Loki to do. And he's like so apathetic about everything. It's like, it's a nice foil for Loki, who's like a suave, quick thinker, quick talker. And he's just like a blunt, like, maybe I just said that to get you to do what I wanted you to do. Who knows?
I mean, it's a brick talking to a con man, you know, yeah. Okay.
I like it.
No. Don't retreat. Things that you like matter. But also, I kind of hate it. I don't know. Like, I would argue this show is at its worst when it's trying to be a procedural drama. And it's at its best when it's trying to be a superhero story, which I wouldn't usually say. I'm within superhero fatigue, even though I like all of these shows to a point. And the superhero story, though, is fading away in this series. Every time it is a ripoff of Catch Me If You Can, I'm just like, okay, leave that behind. Move on and show us the new version of it. Stop being something I already saw Steven Spielberg directed.
See, I mean, I'm jumping ahead again.
Yep.
They did it because they had to do it now. They laid everything on so thick. Because right. what happens at the end of this episode, I didn't think was going to happen until much later in the series.
Me either, but also don't make it 6 episodes then. Make it 8, right?
Well, no, it makes me excited for what, I guess you're right. It's funny because usually the complaint that I have with these Marvel shows is that they make them a little too long and they could cut them back a little
bit. Yeah.
So maybe the story that they have to tell is just that much better than
Dude, I think what the actual problem here is that this exists to give us exposition on the way that they're going to open up the entire universe. And that's a lot to get the audience there. Like, what is the first 10 minutes of Doctor Strange going to be if not these 6 episodes condensed? Right. And like, these exist, I think, just to make those 10 minutes more palatable, because they assume if you watch Doctor Strange and the multi-universe quantum Ant-Man realm, if you watch those two movies, you're most likely going to be a person who's already watched Loki. And when they start just throwing universes and throwing timelines at you, you're going to be like, oh, well, yeah, well, Loki destroyed all of it, so I get it. And we are going to not have to do as much exposition then as we're doing now.
I think that they were clever by accident, because if you remember Doctor Strange 1, when Doctor Strange meets Tilda Swinton, oh my god, help me out, guys.
No.
Oh, Grant. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
The ancient one.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know what? What's cool?
Is that her name?
Yeah, it is the ancient one, and I knew it, but I just wasn't going to tell you.
Oh, you're an asshole. All right. So when he met her, she said, this is just one universe of many, yada, yada, yada. And she's obviously talking about like different dimensions, which is different than variant timelines. But because that's in Doctor Strange fans' minds now, they can throw one line in and suddenly the alternate dimensions that we learned about in Doctor Strange are the same thing to them as the variant timelines that we learned about in Loki. And the people who saw Loki and WandaVision and Ant-Man, they just have greater context. So they don't need to have this exposition.
Yeah, they're desperately trying to make it not a weird, convoluted thing. And I get that. It just is grating sometimes, I think. And perhaps that is not the same way for others. And they're masking it with Loki being a charming dude. And I get that. And it does work some of the time. But when it doesn't work all the time. Okay, I'm just going to move on.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued with how, because like you said, Chad, I thought that this was going to happen a lot later in the series. Mm-hmm. And it happened episode two.
How can it? We're like, already a third done with the series.
There's but there's already a season two greenlit.
There is.
So there's gonna be a season two. So what else can be told? Yeah. Like it's got, and where is that gonna lie in relation to the Doctor Strange universe and the Ant-Man stuff? Like, is it gonna be after? Is it gonna be before? Are they gonna jump backwards in time, forward in time, in terms of like the timeline of the storytelling?
See, I thought that this was going to happen at the end, that whatever happened in the story, that was going to be the bomb that blew up and the ripples will be felt throughout the MCU. But the fact that they made it so early means that they're going to do something with it now. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm excited. I know that
I'm intrigued. Yeah.
There's a lot of skepticism with the show, and I guess I get that too, but I mean I'm loving it so far. I like all the thick narrative exposition. I want to figure out the how the knot untangles, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't know if you guys remember, but we left Loki at a desk and
yeah,
he gives up immediately.
Oh,
looking
right, the recap.
For what Owen Wilson tells him to do. Right, the recap. Yeah, we're back here, baby. So he goes to the administrator of some kind, and he says he's looking for files pertaining to the beginning of time and the creation of the TVA. And if he were smart, he would have just read the comics, but he doesn't have that ability. So he then finds an event inquiry of the destruction of Asgard, because the only files he's allowed to look at are ones about himself. And what he's looking at is basically like the spark notes of Thor Ragnarok. He sees that the planet's gone. Notes. Yeah, remember spark notes, guys?
Do your listeners know what spark notes are?
Yes.
You guys should message us on Discord if you know what spark notes are.
Right. Based on the statistics of our listeners, 60% of them definitely know what spark notes is. And 40% of them have no idea. So just go Google it. You have a phone in your pocket. Everything's fine. Anyway, Asgard turned out poorly. The planet's gone. Everyone's dead. Zero variance energy detected, though.
And that was only a chapter 7 or like a category 7 apocalypse? I'm like, oh, just a category 7?
Yeah, could have been worse.
Loki, well, Pompeii was a 10.
Yeah. Right.
Giant fire monster destroys a false realm versus a volcano on Midgard.
A false realm?
Well, you know, like a fantasy realm. Well,
oh,
you
those
know
are not
mean.
The same.
Yeah, yeah. One of those is fake.
I was like, dude,
that was a slip of my tongue.
Sure. I was like, dude, do you have a hot take that I don't know about?
No, not this time.
The entire population of Asgard was only 9,000 and change. So maybe that's why it was classified so low. How many people died in Pompeii?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know.
You're the history major here, Chad.
But it said planetary destruction. Pompeii didn't destroy Earth.
That's true.
But it still was a level 10. Yeah.
Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's dependent on the number of people who died. I'm not a history major. That's James.
I treat you like an encyclopedia, Chad.
All right. That was 12,000 people then.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Loki then walks Mobius through, while ruining his salad, that variant Loki is hiding within almost apocalypses. Apocalypses that are about to happen, and they are timelines that are about to cease anyway. So they start to journey through moments in time that are literally about to explode, so that the TVA cannot see a variant creating a time bullshit.
Right. See, I thought this was clever writing. Continue.
As did I. First off, they go to is Pompeii, Italy, which if you've been living under a rock, you're about to be like this entire country.
Yeah. Can you believe 2,000 people died in Pompeii?
I mean, yeah, I'm not
like
gonna,
only 2,000.
Yeah. Only 2,000. Yeah. Compared to Asgard.
Yeah, it was 90 something.
I don't know. I think you guys are being very flippant about death. Loki let some goats free. He says, like, go, you, they have horns too, so I like them.
Nothing I do matters.
He screams at the citizens about their impending deaths, and as the volcanic ash gets closer and closer, which, by the way, I will point out, Mount St. Helens was the model for this explosion, because we don't know what happened in Pompeii, because it exploded. And there was ashes in my garage when I was a kid, just when I was a chillin's. from Mount St. Helens. My dad just like scooped that shit up and put it in a jar, and it was in my garage when I was a kid. That's just a quick fun fact about me, and it has no want or need about this podcast, but I just wanted to throw it in there.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Yeah. There was a urn Mount St. Helens ashes incident in my childhood that I won't get further into, but I do want to say that it happened. Anyway, there was no zero variance. Anyway, there was a zero variance energy in the Pompeii apocalypse, proving Loki's theory that that is most likely where variant Loki is hiding. And then while consuming what I assume is coffee to keep them awake and reading about doomsdays, Mobius and Loki discuss how sweet jet skis are, as well as how preposterous Loki believes the TVA's whole deal to be. He makes the point that existence is chaos. Nothing makes any sense. Come watch TV. It felt like Michael Waldron writing a letter to his old boss, Justin Roiland, in this moment.
It's the second time in the show that they breach the question of free will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting. And I also think it's interesting Mobius's response, because he basically kind of like, he pivots into saying that like, even though I have free will, I don't have free will because I have purpose. And purpose kind of becomes this like analog for lack of free will. I just thought, like, it's like a brainwashing kind of thing. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think they're just constantly having to tackle a main issue that all fantasy realms, all superhero stories, you know, Harry Potter has to tackle this. And Superman is the worst representation of it. Like, they just have to tackle, oh, okay, if there are gods here, actual gods, does the rest of anything matter? And the prevailing sentiment of characters who have emotions are, of course everything matters. Everything we do matters. And don't take life for granted just because there's definitely someone pulling the strings. While some other characters are like, I don't know, I think you're full of shit.
I think there is free will. I think that, to go back to my earlier theory, the TVA is just trying to keep on deleting the timelines that people choose things that don't result in the timekeepers being born.
Well, I mean, the end, apparently, according to the space lizards, is that there are no more Nexus events. There's no more chaos. There is only order. And we meet in peace at the end of time, at the restaurant at the end of the universe. And
it's because they're finally born.
The right. Eggs?
Because it doesn't matter anymore. That's why.
Right.
Yes. Seems very free-willy. And, by the way...
free-willy.
Yeah. He jumps over us and the rock wall, and we're all chill now.
There was a sequel. They dumped oil in the ocean.
Yeah, a lot of people dump oil in the ocean, Chad. What's your point? The oil comes out of the ground. What are you going to do? Stop.
Oil is Kang.
Oil is Kang. That is the name of this episode. Oil is Kang. Jonathan Majors is Kang, if we're all being honest with ourselves. Anyway, we're all scared little boys, Chad and Adam, okay? And that leads to an aha moment right out of a cop show as Owen Mobius runs off to gain the kablooey blueberry from the French fiasco from earlier. And he realizes that it was sold in the future to variant Loki, or perhaps probably stolen. I would assume a Loki would just steal it. And it happens in Alabama between 2047 and 2051, which makes the search for a doomsday event much more specific. They go through them all. Most of them are all weather related, which is odd because we've been treating the Earth with the utmost respect for so long. How could the weather turn on us? And Loki finds Alabama 2050 Category 8 hurricane. I don't know what the categories are of current hurricanes, but I feel like that is higher. I could be wrong. Chad, Encyclopedia Chad, what are the categories of hurricanes?
I know that tornadoes only go up to 5.
That's true. The finger of God.
The finger of God.
Fid. We can't do this.
Boom!
All right. We can't do this. Let's talk about Twister for a half hour.
Yeah, so Bill Paxton, let me tell you.
Oh, rip, buddy. Rip so hard.
What were they trying to do?
Where?
In that movie? In Twister.
Go towards the tornadoes. And then once they were too close to the tornadoes, get out of there.
They put you know, probes for early warning system. Yeah, this is insane. Back to
you can't do that. No. We're here now.
Somebody's got to say it. Okay, earlier, okay, go ahead. Their first attempt, they sent out Dorothy 1.
Sure.
And it got knocked over, and then all the probes came out and got sucked up into the tornado.
Yeah, there wasn't enough weight, Chad.
And they thought, oh, damn. That's bullshit.
How so?
Because
they didn't anchor the pack.
That doesn't matter. None of that matters, because they wanted it to get sucked up in the tornado. That was the whole point.
You can't explain it. You can't predict it.
Yes. Are you arguing physics or like narrative? Like what do you?
I think both.
Yeah, that could be it.
Well, they needed the Dorothy to be prepped, primed, and active so the sensors could trigger.
Of course.
And when they're just on the ground, they weren't triggering.
Listen, are you saying that Helen Hunt isn't good at her job, Chad? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
I think we better get off this road.
Loki. Okay, right, so
let's tie ourselves to a pipe and let's get back.
That
in.
Is so pretty stupid. I don't think the pipe thing would have worked. Oh yeah, have a leather belt
they
on
go
you.
Go 30 feet in the ground.
Have leather belt on you.
If you
at
anchor
all times.
It to it, you might have a chance. All right, anyway.
No, have a leather belt on you at all times, and you won't get sucked up into a tornado. That's what I learned from that movie. And what I learned from Loki is that Ravonna Slayer still has to say if they can do anything that they want to do. So we get another briefing meeting with Hunter B-15 and pals. They're about to enter a super fucking duper Walmart called Rocks Cart for naming rights purposes, assumably.
No, the Roxxon company is from the comic books.
This is why I have you here. This is why you're here. I knew you would know that. I was literally about to say, Chad, tell us the truth.
If you pay attention in all the movies and stuff, R-O-X-X, it's all over the place. And this is just the latest time that they Easter egg it. They're like a big deal. They're like AIM or Stark Enterprises in the comic books.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. This was a new name to me.
Yeah, it just reminded me of the Costco from Idiocracy. Just gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this Rocks car probably has like 18 tire centers, and they're about to go in it. And we enter the scene. It looks like a mix between The Day After Tomorrow and Stranger Things. And Loki enters the building. He makes himself dry now due to magic. And
what?
What's up? Do you have a problem with that?
No.
Okay, sick. And he goes with Hunter B-15 after a expositional conversation as to why he can't just be with Owen Wilson for some whatever reason. And the variant is seen behind the scenes, behind a set of monitors, and setting some sort of charge for 20 minutes. So we now have a countdown. Variant Loki then mind controls B-15 immediately, and now we have a first conversation between Loki and Variant Loki. On the other side of the building, Mobius points out to the crew to stop scaring the almost dead people. Okay, they're about to die. Just like, stop pushing them. That's not very nice. And then they also run into C-20, the commander who got dragged through the portal earlier at the Ren Fair. She is alive. She is whispering, "It's real," to herself repeatedly, which all healthy people do. And we'll most likely learn what that means in the future. We then port back and Loki version Hunter B-15 takes over another body. We call him
Randall.
Best Buy Loki.
Randall.
Isn't it Randy?
Yeah, I'm going to call him Best Buy Loki. And
Best Buy Loki.
He is played by an actor named Austin Freeman. He was top knot from Watchmen, Alex and the Walking Dead. And also just like to get this part though, just like a character actor, someone not really known, but you're imitating Loki in the Loki show. That must be so huge, right? Like if you're that actor, you must be so fucking psyched.
They effectively get to play Tom Hiddleston.
No, that's not right.
They don't effectively get to play Tom Hiddleston.
Explain yourself.
They're playing the other Loki who's not Tom Hiddleston.
Right, but they have the same like cadences.
No, Chad's
right,
but he's into semantics, and I don't need it. He is right though. Anyway.
All right, fine.
Loki tries to recruit Loki to take over the TVA, but Loki is like, "How dare you? I will not be under another Loki. So you're truly delusional, Loki. But also call me Randy." And then the best line of the episode happens, where OG Loki says, "God, I know why Thor found this so annoying. I said the word Loki so many times in that sentence, and that is annoying." In the background, we see Variant Loki, who is not Randy, setting a time grenade. And elsewhere, C-20 is still, "It's real. It's real." And she told, apparently, Variant Loki how to find the space lizards. Which, like, Owen Wilson doesn't know, but C-20 knows?
Mm.
Question mark?
Yeah, I thought that was strange, too.
I think it's dumb and a plot hole and not good.
What do you think its real means?
Oh, I have no clue. The
multiverse?
Yeah, maybe the multiverse. Maybe the eggs.
Maybe the eggs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we don't know about that.
Yeah, maybe there's some conspiracies going on that people haven't talked about yet.
Maybe Kang the Conqueror?
Could be Kang the Conqueror. That would be interesting.
Yeah, just the pronoun it's, because they don't know, and real, because Kang is for sure going to be real. He's an Ant-Man.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, B-15 then wakes up and is like, shit. And Randy is gone, and a bigger man becomes Variant Loki, starts to beat the piss out of OG Loki. We have 1 minute left as the timer trickles down. And of course, the team thinks OG Loki betrayed them in this moment. Country Hoss Loki passes out, and the real Loki then arrives. And we hear OG Loki's previous statement, "What do you want?" being replayed over and over like it's on a recording. Mm. Variant Loki then takes down their hood, and they reveal to be Lady Loki, played by Sophia DiMartino. She is Carol from Yesterday, Lily from Into the Badlands, and according to the IMDb, going to be around for a bit. She has a lot of things going off. She's popping off right now as an actress, but also popping off in this show, she seems to be in multiple episodes. And it is Lady Loki, which is why you said Girl Loki earlier. And I was like, no, how dare you?
It's Lady. Mistress Loki.
My apologies.
Mistress Loki.
With half horn.
What are you implying?
Yeah, wait, who, what?
Nothing.
You are a racist. As the store gets dark and the time grenades light up, we see that Lady Loki has a fucking lot of these things. Like, Owen Wilson was like, you have 6 of them, maybe? That's all that we really know about? She has 30 plus. And all of which at the same time port to different places and cause Nexus events all over the gosh dang place.
I have like 6 things to say.
Say all 6 of them.
Yeah, I have one big one as well.
Okay, wait. This is what we're going to do. Chad, this is what we're going to do. Chad, say 1 through 3. Okay.
Okay.
And then Adam, say your big 4. It will ruin the rest of Chad's shit. And that is my prediction. Okay.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. So, thing one, the recording that you heard of Loki, I don't know what you guys thought, but I got flashbacks of The Matrix, where, like, Neo sees all of his other selves talking to the architect. So, do you think that was, like, recordings of other Lokis that she dealt with?
Shit. Now I do.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Because I thought it was super strange that she like had a tape recorder on her at that moment and decided to record that one little part.
That one line. I know he's going to say it.
And then second thing. So we learned earlier that the time bombs, they only delete the part of the timeline that is incorrect or that isn't supposed to be there.
This was my big thing, so I'm going to forfeit my time.
So when she sends them all back in time, like all 30 of them to different parts in the timeline, if she's sending them back on the sacred timeline, wouldn't that mean that like nothing happened because it only gets rid of the bad stuff?
Right. That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, well, if it only gets rid of the stuff that changed, it's just going to go off and nothing's going to happen.
And nothing's going to happen. Like someone's going to be like, oh, what was that? I'm blue. And then it goes away.
Unless there's something bigger at play there.
Right, right. Unless like I said, unless we're being fed a bunch of bullshit and none of this.
Yeah, for sure.
Which we definitely are.
Yeah. So, and then my third thing, I conflated. I only have 3 things.
You son of a bitch.
My third thing is when Loki leaves with Lady Loki, do you think he's betraying them or do you think that he's going in as the hero to stop her?
I don't think it's either. I think he is making a calculated risk of how does he get the ends justify the means, and his end is taking over the TVA, figuring out how to be the king of something bigger and better, and who else better to aid him in that endeavor but another version of him that is somehow more powerful because she perhaps is older or wiser.
So you think he's going to team up with her for his own purposes?
I think he's going to turn on everyone, including her, and including the TVA as well. She is just another asset in the long line of his ascent.
It's maybe. I don't know. I feel like that's very short-sighted of Loki. I mean, after having seen all the Infinity Stones just like paperweights in the TVA, I mean, he's got to know that there's no way out for
his
him.
Entire history, I would argue, is a bit short-sighted. Like, he meets Thanos and he thinks to himself, like, oh, this guy won't be the guy who breaks my neck one day. Like, he's not incredibly sure. more powerful than me. And
that followed the rules that he knows in his universe. He's in a place where, like, his most, like, powerful thought, the biggest thing that he can possibly imagine, the collection of all the Infinity Stones, is nothing. Like, he's got to know that he can't go up against that.
I agree.
He's already lost.
I think the most interesting part about him as a character is that he's willing to take risks that most Marvel characters won't. Which is why the end of this episode, I think, is at all interesting. Because I don't know, name another Marvel character who would have jumped through that portal. Sadly, like, the worst character in the canon, in my opinion, Hawkeye, I think, would have done it. Black Widow, maybe. Captain America, I don't know. Iron Man, I don't think so. Thor, probably not.
We don't know if he's doing it with good intentions or bad intentions
yet. It's not bad or good intentions. It's just the intention
of,
like,
selfish.
Yes, it's how can I move forward with my nebulous goals? And following this Lady Loki, like, maybe we get the band back together. All the Lokis, help me out.
So there was another thing that happened. I don't know if you guys caught it, but when all the bombs exploded in the department store and they all started going off and veering these weird timelines, on that little ticker tape screen, one of the line items was Vormir. So one of those went to Vormir, which, if you didn't know, is where the Soul Stone is held. And the date says 4/23, which happens to be National Picnic Day. So
I
happy National Picnic Day, Vormir.
So much. But it's also 20. It's 2301. So Black Widow's body at that point has completely disintegrated. The bones probably aren't there, but
right. But it's just
Red
interesting.
Skull is there probably
that it. I wonder if I can't imagine that means anything. It's such a teeny tiny detail. But then again, Marvel's been known to do even more hidden details and bring them back. I wonder if that has anything to do, because the Soul Stone is like one of the most hard. This is like the hardest stone to get.
Let me read the list of places those time grenades went, and you guys tell me.
I have it in front of me.
Yeah. I missed all of this.
Okay, I'm going to read the list of date and place, and you just interrupt me if something hits you about them. 1522, Phong Nha, Vietnam. P.S. And by the way, definitely said that wrong. Going to say a lot of things wrong in the future. 1492, Lisbon, Portugal. 2301.
1492.
Columbus. Yep. So that's, but was it Portugal, right?
Yeah.
Something with Portugal.
He's actually from Portugal, but he left in the name of Spain, but yeah, he's from Portugal.
2301, Vormir, we just talked about. 1551, Thornton, USA.
Yeah,
1551? Okay.
1551.
Yep. 1999, Cookville, USA. 2004, Asgard, which I think is Thor 1?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not Ragnarok.
What was the year again?
2004.
Yeah, 2004.
Maybe that was Thor 1, or maybe that was Dark World. Dark World.
When the movies came out, that's not where they fall in the timeline.
That's
so
true.
Maybe
that's true, too.
1390, Rome, Italy. 1984, Sakaar, Tao. 1808, Barishaw. God, I'm going to fuck. 1708, Porvoo, Finland. 1382, Ego.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yep. Guardians of the Galaxy.
1982, Titan. We saw some shit on Titan. Thanos was there. A lot of things have crashed into it.
Yeah, do we know when that happened? Like, when the planet died?
If I'm going to put it, I bet 1982.
Yeah, I bet that's a fair assessment. New York, 1947, that was probably the creation of Captain America.
But there's not a, yeah, sure. 1984, Tokyo, Japan. I'm moving on. 0051, Hala. 1991, Kingsport, USA. 1001, Kandar.
Zandar.
Yeah. So we get to see Jeff Goldblum again? Question mark.
2005.
Time moves differently on Xandar.
What's up, dude?
We know that time passes differently on Xandar.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2005 Beijing, China, 1903 Madrid, Spain, and 1887 something. We don't know when or what that was.
Did you notice that a lot of these are on Earth?
Yeah. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, a lot of it's on Earth, Ted.
One of them, I bet, is when Star-Lord was picked up.
Yeah. Maybe that was there any in the 80s in the USA?
Yeah.
Are we about to see, Loki behind the hospital where Star-Lord is being picked up watching it or something like that?
We're about to watch a Loki Endgame.
Yes.
Guardians of the Loki.
Okay, or we did this last time, Adam, and I really liked it. I'm going to read the top 5 or 6 Reddit comments for the episode and get your guys' feelings on the subject.
Yes.
The first one is, I need to use a, quote, cosmic mistake more often, unquote. Does that hit you guys?
Cosmic mistake.
You are a cosmic mistake.
That feels very demeaning. I feel threatened.
You should. I'm aggressing upon you. The second. Yep, Chad. Yeah.
Well, they're saying that the show is a cosmic mistake.
No, Loki is a cosmic being alive. Like not pruning Loki, I believe, was the cosmic mistake.
Okay.
Second, what a wild ending. Definitely didn't expect the time to branch off uncontrollably this early. We're in for a wild ride these next 4 episodes.
I disagree entirely.
Really? What do you think?
No, I've been saying that the whole podcast.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's a weird turn. Listen, okay, this needs to be a place with hot takes, Chad. And you just like going against every feeling you have would be pretty hot, but...
You know, next podcast, I'll go against everything I believe.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I look forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I wonder which moments in the time female Loki sent those time grenades. And then we know that. We went over those in detail.
That person didn't
read. They should watch the podcast. I mean, they should also listen to it.
You should just post this podcast as a reply comment.
They should listen to the comics and watch the podcast. Yeah. Next one. Good thing Asgard is a people and not a place.
Oh, righteous.
Oh, to my heart.
Yeah. Tom and Owen are amazing together. They bounce off each other with amazing chemistry.
I do like them together.
I do too.
I surprisingly really like Owen Wilson in this role. I think he's doing great.
Yeah, he's not too Owen Wilson-y. I mean,
describe what that is.
That's true. Wow.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we said last episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the last one I'll read is The Multiverse of Madness Begins.
Yeah, that's about right.
I mean, the point is, like, for Doctor Strange to happen, for the Quantum Mania to happen, it all has to go to shit eventually, right?
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Okay. So I may have found a problem. Do we know, I guess, when this happens is kind of an upside down question. Because Scarlet Witch heard her kids at the end of WandaVision, which implies that there's already a multiverse. We also, as I said earlier in Doctor Strange, we know there already is like a dimensional multiverse. So are we just assuming that this broken timeline is the multiverse or?
Well, yeah, potentially, because this is happening before WandaVision. So wonder if the WandaVision that we saw at the end is like after. And it does break off, and now she can see it and all that stuff.
I mean, Loki asked the question, too. Like, we're from the future, right? It's very future-y there. Like we don't really know when the TVA is.
Right. Well, time passes differently in the TVA.
Wow.
I'm going to read what James wrote and
yes, please.
On the Discord recently. He can't be here once again. Very sorry for everybody who listens to the HBO boys because his little boy is still pouring mucus out of his nose. But James wrote, so there is no multiverse or alternative timelines. Before we even get to the show, this is contradicted by the end game. Peggy Carter lived a whole 70 years of her life one way and then lived another version of it with Steve. If that's not an alternate timeline, then what would you call it?
Somebody had a really good comeback to that.
Which was what, you?
Yeah.
And you said?
I said, how do we know that Steve wasn't there the whole time and just chose to not reveal himself until after he knew that his younger self ported back?
Which I think is on point. But I think what James is truly trying to get across is his frustration. In the future, he then says, episode 2 is really boring. The show is all bickering. Characters bicker for 15 minutes at a time and nothing happens. At least Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the scenes were short. He currently puts Falcon and the Winter Soldier above Loki, which I think is insane. But
I disagree.
I'm also low on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm lower than the average for sure.
I think James needs to cool it. I think he's being a little too critical. So far, it's been fun. I think that, I mean, in this, after the second episode of WandaVision, you can't complain that you don't know what's going on and there's too much confusion. It was the second episode. I think we're in second episode-itis and we don't know what's going on yet.
That's true.
I lean a bit more towards, I don't think exactly what James thinks. I'm not as intensely hating upon Loki as he is, but I very much understand it. Like, there are some moments in the second episode I found very, very annoying, very expositionally heavy, and very kind of treating the audience like we're dummies some of the time, and trying to mask it with, hey, look how charismatic Loki and Mobius to the third is, which they are, but that doesn't make every other scene that they are just shoving exposition down our throats okay. And they do obviously make it better, because the end is a bigger swing than I usually give Marvel TV shows to have, which is he steps through the door, and not most Marvel characters would do that.
Did you see Adaptation, the movie?
No, that sounds insane.
Nicolas Cage?
Of course not.
No?
No, I only watch one Nicolas Cage movie, and that is National Treasure 1.
You didn't watch Face Off either?
No, I did. It was a joke.
Face Off was so good.
Face Off is great.
It was a joke.
Oh, well, let me re-ask my question then. Have you seen Adaptation?
No, of course not.
No. Nope.
Okay, well, I recommend watching Adaptation as a literary critic like yourself.
I don't think that could be said, but okay.
The movie was really interesting because in it, the writer of the movie wrote himself into the movie, and we're watching the movie that he wrote. So it's very like self-referential. And I don't want to give too much away because it's an interesting.
It sounds exhausting.
Plot. Yeah, no, it's good though. It's a little slow. It's a little slow, but it's slow on purpose because by the end, they explain how the end makes the rest of the movie elevates the rest of the movie. Watch that movie. I mean, I recommend it. Like I said, it's a little slow. It's also a Nick Cage movie, so take that with a grain of salt, but it's worth a watch.
It sounds like you're the pretentious kid in a film study class pushing your glasses up, being like, oh, French films from the 1930s were
you know
perfection.
What, Ryan? You know what? It's not far off, but but I feel like it's still worth a watch.
You know, this all did make me want to make like a list of a ranking of the shows I've watched this year. So I'm just going to read this list for you guys. And
oh,
you
did
me,
it already.
Yeah.
I'm just unprepared with my
You're
list.
Unprepared.
Yeah, I don't have a list either. What the
you
hell?
You don't, because I didn't tell you to make one. Anyway.
Good fan.
This doesn't include the upcoming Rick and Morty. This does include shows that are currently just within themselves and they're not over yet. It doesn't include Dave. I haven't gotten to Hacks yet, which a lot of people say is great. I haven't gotten to Mythic Quest season 2 or 1, to be fair. I haven't watched The Bad Batch, and I haven't watched Girls 5 ever yet. If I'm being honest.
Have you seen Breaking Bad?
No. Actually, truly, I haven't. So maybe my list doesn't even count because I haven't seen. I told Adam very recently, like, I've watched most of Breaking Bad on YouTube.
I think that's insane. You said that in the Discord. Yeah, that's nuts. That's such a good show, and you're doing a disservice to yourself.
I'm addicted to YouTube. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, here are my top 8 shows that I've watched this year so far, and some of them are still happening. 8 is The Handmaid's Tale season 4. It makes me sad, but I have to keep watching it. I'm too deep. 7 is Loki, and so that's
number 2 episodes in. Good.
Yep.
Okay. Room to improve. Got it.
Yeah. 6 is Resident Alien, which is amazing, but it's definitely going to be canceled.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah. I liked it, though.
5 is Sweet Tooth, which is so good. 4 is Mr. Mayor. 3 is WandaVision. 2 is Invincible. And 1 is Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, you keep talking about this. I got to watch
it. What about The Boys? You keep talking about The Boys.
Did The Boys season happen this year?
I don't know.
It did
I haven't
not.
Seen it.
It did not. I'm just counting things I've watched this year. But yeah, The Boys is dope and everyone should watch it. But the point is, like, Falcon and Winter Soldier is not on that list for me.
Yeah.
I still put it below Loki, and I've only watched 2 episodes of Loki, and I have my gripes with the show. But James said, I don't know if it's a controversial opinion or not, that he likes Falcon and the Winter Soldier more than Loki currently. Obviously think, you mean based on the sound you just made, Chad, that you do not feel that way.
That's such, for so many reasons, such a rash conclusion to come to.
Yeah, but I wish he was on the podcast right now to fight you about it, because that would be good podcasting.
It's easier to follow for sure, because it's kind of basic, but it was a filler. That was very much a filler show.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
I mean, the writing in any 10 minutes of Loki is better than the writing of the entire Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
They also have a superior actor. I think Tom Hiddleston is really good at his craft.
Okay, for sure. I want to talk to a person who ranks Falcon and the Winter Soldier 1, WandaVision 2 or 3, Loki 2 or 3. I
would be intrigued to see what Elliot thinks, like what his ranking is on these, because he watches all of them and watches them all multiple times.
Adam, the people who listen to this podcast don't know who Elliot is. But
yeah, he's a friend of ours.
Okay. Can I be a little presumptuous, Ryan?
Absolutely, you can. That's the best podcasting.
All right, I'm gonna be very presumptuous. We did this off while we weren't recording, but I've been demoted here at the HBO Boys podcast. Yep. And oof. I'm going to go ahead and just take control for a minute.
Oh, perfect.
I want one of the listeners who's listening to this right now, join the Discord and tell us if you liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier better than WandaVision and Loki. And if you did, Ryan is going to invite you to speak in the next podcast.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
Okay, a few things.
That
Chad.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
It really does. No one's going to say shit. But I really appreciate it. I hope someone does, but I don't foresee it happening. Prove me wrong, audience. Number one, Chad, you haven't been demoted, okay? Adam just showed up last time and you didn't. Number two. I didn't have a number two. That was just it.
That was it. All right, good.
Okay, in summary, what is your one sentence feeling on everything that has just happened and going into next week, where we assumably will get Lady Loki and regular OG Loki sitting down? If they kiss, is it gross?
It's masturbation.
Yeah, which is a natural thing and totally cool.
Everybody does it.
That's true. I'm going to end it right
Everybody
there.
Everybody poops.
I'm ending the show right there.
Oh, we didn't even get to say our sentence.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Say your sentence.
Oh, so, well, I mean, I was waiting for you guys, but
no, I already said my shit.
I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic, and it's because we're still very early in this and there's already a second season. So I think they might start slow rolling now that they've got the bulk of this stuff out of the way. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think that I'm excited. I think that the fact that they do have a second season is proof that they have a lot of faith in what they're doing, and that it's going to be meaty enough that they can, like, they can't just make another show, call it Loki, and have it be a totally different plot. There's enough going on here where they feel like they can build upon it. And that, I mean, for someone who's a lore nerd, sorry.
Nice, nice.
I'm a couple bourbons in, guys.
Okay,
nerd lore.
Someone who's into nerd lore, I'm excited to see where the show takes it and how it affects the rest of the MCU.
Okay, now say it's natural again, because we ought to end the podcast.
It's natural.